We're going to begin now. Okay, so good evening. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the role of the women in building the Mishkan and talk about spontaneity versus structure. And I have some thoughts. Hopefully it's coherent. Hopefully I'm right about this. But it's very interesting that the Torah specifies the women's role in donating to the Mishkan. So I want to sort of look at that and ask some questions and then try to develop an idea, which I think is related to their donation to the Mishkan and some other things that they were involved in or that they were known for in Egypt and perhaps by the sin of the golden calf. So we're going to begin our discussion on in Shmos Perek Lamed Hey, Psukim Chaf Aleph to Chaf Tes. And there, the Torah tells us, "Vayavo kol ish asher nisol libo v'chol asher nadvar ruchol, also hevi'u as trumas Hashem l'mlachas ol moed l'chol avodasol b'di'a kodesh." So everyone whose heart carried him, anyone whose spirit carried him, and they donated to the work of the Mishkan and to the building of the Mishkan, to the service, to the clothing. And then it has a strange line. Vayavo ha'nashim al ha'nashim, and the men came al ha'nashim over the women. It's a very strange phrase. We have to try to understand that. Kol nediv lev, okay. Anyone who, again, heart carried them or was had a donating spirit. Heviu chach v'nezem v'tabas v'chumaz, all these different types of jewelry. Kol klei zahav, all golden. And other people who are making these donations of gold to God. So and men who have any of these different types of materials or fabrics, different types of fabrics, so they brought them as well. Anyone who donated the silver and copper, and anyone who had shittim wood also donated that. And then we go back to the women now. Pasuk Chaf Hey, tavu, and the women who I guess they had some kind of skill, right? Biyadeha. It's an interesting term. They had certain skill that they spun, that they were able to spin. Fabric or threads. So they brought the tcheles argamon that was spun. Apparently, the men just brought the materials. The women actually also did. You also had their handiwork as well. And the nesiim brought the shoham stones and the Miluim stones for the Ephod and the Choshen, v'sabosef Hashem l'mor, Hashem l'mishkal l'karsasamim, and also some oils and for the lighting and for the Hashem l'mishkal for the Torah's incense. Kol ish v'isha asher nadav libam osam la'vias klochom l'char shetiv Hashem l'asos b'yad Moshe v'yu b'nei Yisrael nadav Hashem. Both men and women made these donations. So even though, like initially, the Torah says kol ish asher yidven libo in Parshas Truma, it just says any man. Who wants to donate. And obviously it just says man, it just means by men or women, but you gave the generic man. And here we're specifying both the men and the woman what they brought. Now, I thought that's interesting that you have the emphasis of both men and women donated. I am also interested in what the phrase Vayavo Hanashim Al Hanashim, what does that mean? And then there's later on in the parsha, when we talk about the kior, the basin, the wash basin, in Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Ches, the Torah says, "Vayas es ha-kior nechoshes v'sakano nechoshes." So Moshe makes the basin and the stand, I guess, out of copper. B'maros ha-tzovo sher tzovu pesach ha-moed, with the mirrors. So and there's a big Rashi about these mirrors that the Rashi cites this debate between Moshe and I guess Moshe was not happy with this donation. The Rashi says, "Benos Yisrael hoyu b'yad maros." The women had these mirrors. Sheros bahem kishem miskach mishkashtos. You know, when they're putting on jewelry, they're looking at the mirrors to see how they look. Vav osam lo ikvu milahavi l'nidvas ha-mishkan, and they did not stop from bringing them for a donation for the mishkan. Vayam mois Moshe behem. Moshe was, he didn't just dislike it. He was, what's mois? He was disgusted by them. He said, how can you do that? Because they're used to incite things, looking how you look, how beautiful you look. So Moshe's not happy about these mirrors being used for the kelim for the Mishkan. So Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu kabel ki elu chavim olam min hakol. So God turns to Moshe and he says, no, I want you to accept this because these are more beautiful for me than anything. Shal yideim hamido anashim tzvos rabos b'Yisrael. That through this, the women were able to establish many, seems, generations in Egypt. Shehoyu baleh began b'avodas parech. When their husbands were exhausted from hard work, so the women would come and they'd bring the men food and drink and feed them and take their mirrors. And every woman would look at herself with her husband in the mirror and she would sort of like seduce him a little bit with words. I look, I'm more pretty than you. And the women would have this kind of playful, seductive banter to get their husband's desire so they would be able to, so the husbands would be exhausted at work. The women would try to encourage them to be intimate with them. And because of that, and they would get pregnant, they'd have, and they'd start a family. Under the apple tree, in other words, this happened that they were able to have the family life. So the kiyar was made with these copper mirrors. So I think it's interesting that Moshe was so Moshe was so off on his decision. Moshe said, "How dare you use these mirrors for this?" And yet he was wrong. So I'm trying to understand why Moshe was so wrong about this also. So that's my second source that I want to get through. The first, again, I'm trying to understand the emphasis, both the men and the women donating, and this lashon of Yavo Hanashim al Nashim. I want to understand a little more deeply this disagreement between Moshe and the women regarding the use of the mirrors. And there's one more source I want to try to understand, and that is the Torah. It's not a parshanut source. It's a halachic source. The Torah in Or HaChaim, Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Simon Taf Yud Zayin, says the following. It says, V'achinami Isab Yerushalmi. The Torah cites Yerushalmi. Hani Nashi Denehigi Lemebad Avid Tebrei Sharcha Minhaga. There's this custom that women do not do work on Rosh Chodesh. What's the nature of the work? How much? At what time? Okay, there's a discussion about that. But Visa Beperek Mem Dalm and Pirkid Rabbi Lezer, Lefisha Lo Ratsu Nashim Litain Liz Mayhem, Lebalem, Bemaise Aegel, Lachach, Nusalan Kalahem Kalashbar, who scarn Shehoyu, Shehu Mishmara, Mishamas, Rosh Chodesh, Osimea Nashim. So there's this opinion that because they didn't want to give their earrings to their husbands with the store of the Aegel, so Hashem rewarded them by saying, you're in charge of Rosh Chodesh. You observe Rosh Chodesh more than the men. Veshemati Meachi Hari, Tam Ladavar, Lefisha Modim, Nitkunu Keneged Avos. So you give another reason, the Torah cites, that the holidays were established to correspond to the Avos, maybe Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, maybe, the three Avos. Yud Beis Rosh Chodesh, Chod Shiashinah, Shegam Him Nikra Moadim, Keneged Yud Beis Shvatim, and the 12 Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodashim, to correspond to the 12 Shvatim. And when the Bnei Yisrael sin with the golden calf, nidlu behem v'nidin lin shosem lezecher shelo hayibosochet, and the Rosh Chodesh was given to the women because they didn't sin with the golden calf. So I'm trying to understand what's the connection between the golden calf and Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so those are the three things I want to try to understand. I want to understand why we specify the women's donation with the Mishkan. I want to try to understand the nature of this disagreement between Moshe and the women regarding the mirrors. And I want to try to understand the tour, the connection between the Rosh Chodesh and the fact they didn't contribute to the golden calf. I think there is a common theme, which I think is correct. I didn't see it anywhere, but I think it's correct. And so let's try to understand the women's role in donating to the Mishkan. So in what way did the women do more than the men when it comes to donating the Mishkan? If you go back to these psukim, in what way do you think the women did more than the men when it came to donating to the Mishkan?
Well, they did the work.
Yeah.
They did the physical work.
Yes.
And they also took something that was personal of theirs and donated it for the Mishkan.
Right. That is interesting. Again, I don't know how much... You know, I'm not an expert in, you know, what jewelry the men had versus the women, but like, there's like all this jewelry, which seems to be, you know, women's jewelry. I could be wrong about that, but it seems that like it goes in detail of all the jewelry was donated to the Mishkan. And also, the women didn't just donate materials, but they donated services as well. So I think those are the two things I think are emphasized here. And this language of Ayavo Hanashim Al Hanashim, so Rashi simply says, Im Hanashim, that the men went with the women. Okay, it's Al Hanashim. But the Ramban says no. I like the Ramban, at least in this context. The Ramban says, V'tam Vayavo Hanashim Al Hanashim, Bavur Kin Adava B'Tachshitim, Hi Metsuya Eitz Al Nashim Yoter. Because again, jewelry, women generally have more jewelry than men. V'chulam Hayulahem, women all had their jewelry. And the women removed their jewelry immediately. They came first. Okay, the men who had, they brought with them. So Ramban says, the men came after the women. The women came first. The women took initiative when it came to donating materials to the Mishkan. And the Das Zakenim, Mibalei Tosfos, goes even further. And he says, Vevo Nashim Al Nashim, right, there were two times in the recent past that, where we are in Vayakhel, where there were donations of jewelry. One was for a good cause, and one was for a bad cause. One was for the Mishkan, and one was for the Golden Calf. And Das Kenim Bali Tosu says, Kalomar, Lishlo Mehem Tachshitehem. So the women came to, right, to give their jewelry. Chach Nezev Av Bichain. I'm sorry. So he said the men came to give their jewelry, but then Av Bichain Anashim Smachos Vuzahiros Bamlecha Shemayim. But the women, were, the men and women came to get rid of their jewelry, but nevertheless, the women were very happy, and they're very careful about Melech HaShemayim, of doing the holy work. The Yechsiv called Hashim, Shanasa Libon Osana. The women, they themselves, they had the right spirit. Lefichach Zachu Anashim, Shalasos Melech HaRosh Chodesh. Therefore, the women have the custom of not doing work on Rosh Chodesh. Lefi, Shebamasa Ega Lachu Tachshitehem Bal Karchan. So the way that Das Kedim says, we'll see the other explanations, that the men took the jewelry from the women, that the women didn't want to give. When it comes to donating to the Mishkan, they were happy to give. And that's why they were given Rosh Chodesh as a holiday. Okay, and he wants to say a little more. The Das Kedim also wants to say, so why Rosh Chodesh? Because Rosh Chodesh is when Shabohu Kama Mishkan. Because the Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh, so therefore the women got Rosh Chodesh. So what the Das Kedim Bali Tosfos does, it's not simply the women donated for the Mishkan and they were very happy, but they simply donated for the Mishkan and they didn't want to donate by the Golden Calf. And by the way, the women's role when it comes to the Golden Calf, there are different opinions about this. The Das Kedim says the men forced the women to take off to take their jewelry. But some even say, not even that. The Rashi, in last week's Parsha, says that when Aaron's tactic, when they wanted to build the Golden Calf, was delay. So Amar Aaron Belibo, Anashim Yolim Chasan Tachshitim, right? Aaron told the men, yeah, take the jewelry from your women, from your wives and children. Shami Sakev Adavar, so hopefully they're not gonna allow. And, you know, V'tokach Yavo Moshe. In the meantime, delay. Moshe's going to come. V'im lo'im tinu parkum el atzman. So go to Rashi. Rashi just says that it's not that they took from their wives, but they just took from themselves. They didn't even wait. They just took their old jewelry. And Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says even more than that. Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says, the Medrash says, Vayar Aaron, what did Aaron see? Mara Shiner Chur ben Achoso. That Chur, his nephew, died. Ubana Mizbeach, so Aaron built the Mizbeach, because it's Vaviv Mizbeach. Don Aaron Dino, the Ben Atzmo. Aaron said, Im Omar Imanin, Omer Lohem Tunili Kesav Azov. If I say, give me gold, silver and gold, they're going to bring right away. Give me the earrings, the jewelry of your wives and children. And it's not going to happen anymore. Aaron said, they're not going to be able to get the jewelry off their wives and their children. Aaron was correct. The women heard, they didn't want to give. And they didn't want to give their jewelry to their husbands. You want to take this jewelry to build some kind of abomination that can't save it, doesn't have the power to save you. We're not going to listen to you. So the men saw that the women didn't want to give the jewelry. So what did they do? Until then, the men had the jewelry in their ear. I guess the Egyptians and the Arabs also, the men wore jewelry. They removed their own jewelry and gave it to Aaron. So there are actually three different versions. Right, because the pasuk says, "Vayispoku kolamis nizmei azav asher baznehem." They removed the jewelry that was in their ears. Asher baznehem eshem en ksiv kam ela asher baznehem. So they got rid of the jewelry in their, not in their wives' ears, but in their ears. So there are three different versions to what happened when it came to the sin of the golden calf. Either the men forced the women to give them the jewelry, or the men just right away took off their own jewelry, or the women said no. But the bottom line is that the Torah is clearly contrasting the women's. You could say, "Oh, the women, they'll give up their jewelry for everything, for anything." Or the women care about their jewelry; they won't give it up for anything. What happened? The Torah is clearly contrasting. They're willing to give up their jewelry for Melech HaShemayim, for the Mishkan, but they're not willing to give up their jewelry for the golden calf. And by the way, some of us are familiar with the Nesi'im, right? The Torah says that. It says the Nesi'im there without the Yuds, right? That the Nesi'im are criticized, that they brought the Avni Shom Avni Miluim. They said, we're going to bring the leftovers. And basically, we'll give whatever is left. Whatever, you know, we'll make up the difference. And their Rashi's criticizing them. Rashi, the Torah, is criticizing them, but not putting the Yuds. That's saying they should have donated first. So it's, again, if you're looking at this whole section here, that the women go first, as opposed to the men who follow the women, and they see him, they go last. So you have the women showing initiative when it comes to donating with the Mishkan. And I think that this points to a trend, and it's based, I think, on a trend difference between, let's say, the men and the women. I think when it comes to the men are, and we see this in halacha, that men are more structured, right? Men are obligated, mitzvah, shemon, grumman, positive timeout commandments. They need more structure in their lives. And the women, generally, we see in halacha, they're not obligated mitzvah shemon grama. And so for them, there's more of a balance. They can choose what they want to do. There's more spontaneity in women's observance. And it could be, and I don't have a, and I know this, hashkafically, you could argue that maybe we need, you know, you have the structure. Structure is important. Spontaneity is important. I think if you were to compare the two genders, then men, at least in halacha, they generally have more structure associated with them, and the women have less structure and they have greater spontaneity. They can use more initiative in terms of what they want to do. In general, obviously there are exceptions to that, but I think maybe in contrasting the men's role and the women's role, at least in some of these biblical stories, I think we can point to perhaps advantages, or in this case, disadvantages with structure. Now, obviously, the advantage of structure when it comes to religion is consistency. If I'm forced to do something each and every day, so I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to do it every day, and I develop a pattern, a habit, becomes part of my personality. If I don't have structure, and it's only based on initiative, so then maybe I won't do it at all. And you don't have that sense of it's part of my personality, it's part of what I do. So there's an advantage to structure. But I think in some of these biblical stories, I think the Torah is going to point to, and I think there's a common theme of the disadvantage of structure. So I think one disadvantage to structure is that if you're part of a structure, then it's much harder for you to deal with new situations. Right? So we see that, and if we see that in the in Rashi, we know when the Rashi where it tells a story about the mirrors, and it talks about how basically what happened when Paro made a decree that, you know, all newborn, you know, boys are thrown in the river and slavery was very difficult. The men essentially gave up. They couldn't handle this situation. They couldn't handle this enslavement. They said, we can't handle family life. And it's the women who seduced the men to start the families, because I think the men, they couldn't react. They couldn't, they didn't. According to this Rashi, they did not react well to the new situation. And we also see that when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai and he doesn't come down right away, so the men are more eager to want to build something new because they can't handle this lack of structure. They can't handle when Moshe leaves them. And they don't react well to this lack of structure, and they want to build a god. Women who aren't so bound to the structure, they don't fall apart over this lack of structure. They say, just wait for Moshe. And I might even argue that maybe even Moshe, to some extent, And then finally, after the sin of the golden calf, where basically what happened, the men may have felt a little hopeless after the sin, and they're like, how can we reconnect to God? You know, we had this structure, we had this commandment to build the Mishkan, we had this relationship with God, and it all fell apart. And they don't react well to that new situation. And even though Hashem said, okay, anyone who wants to donate, donate, who leads the charge? It's the women, not the men. Because it's hard when you live a life that's completely full of structure. When that structure falls apart, it's great when you have the structure. When it falls apart, it's more difficult to react to the new situation. And perhaps even Moshe Rabbeinu has a more rigid view of the Mishkan. And he cannot contemplate that something that was used to seduce can be used for something holy. It doesn't fit into his rigid understanding of the Mishkan. However, God rejects Moshe's argument, asserting that this type of spontaneity is what saved the Bnei Israel in Egypt. And perhaps with this, we could understand the Torah's comment that why specifically the women are associated with the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. Because what is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is about renewal. Rosh Chodesh represents the opportunity for renewal, the opportunity to break out of the routine and to be reborn. The women did this in Egypt. The women did this after the sin of the golden calf in donating the Mishkan. And therefore, Rosh Chodesh, the holiday of Rosh Chodesh, is very much associated with the women and very much associated with their behavior in Egypt and shortly after. And maybe what the Torah is doing here in not just saying that the Bnei Israel donated, but in a sense, in some way, contrasting the initiative of the women with the donation of the men, is to tell us that essentially, obviously, you need both values. Could be, I don't know, could be a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do both, because we have to have both in our lives. And, you know, maybe to give one gender more of a structure, one gender more of spontaneity, maybe, you know, have to think about that a little more. But perhaps sometimes the Torah is trying to tell us we need the best of both values. We need structure for consistency, and we need the ability to be spontaneous, to break out of a bad routine, and to achieve rebirth, and to achieve renewal when it is necessary. And so that is why the Torah goes out of its way to specify the role of the women, to, in the building of the Mishkan, contrast their role with the golden calf, and why the women's initiative in Egypt, after Egypt, is associated with the holiday of Rosh Chodesh.